So thank you for coming to our little workshop on seasonal traditions, transitions, herbs and healing practices that support the immune system. I like to do this workshop during this time of the year because I think we all allow cold season to catch up on us, and then we're in the middle of being sick. And for myself, the hardest thing is putting shoes on because I like my feet free, and putting a hat on my head because it's finding the right one that fits this stuff, you know. So and those are the things. You don't wear hats
because I can't find hats that fit my head. It's larger.
I feel that same thing, you know. And so it takes me a while to find something that fits on top of my head. I do my scarves as well, you know, but I like my head and my feet to be free, and then hence I end up getting sick. So but anyway, so I'm just gonna walk through the what you have on that front page is really an essay of what I will share with you, and then we'll actually go through the anatomy of a cold, and then talk about what are some strategies to get through each of the different stages of that. So let's just go back to what it means to be healthy. And you know, the word health comes from a root word which is kalo, which is means whole or uninjured, a good omen. It also means something that's sacred and holy. So when we think about the gift that we have called health, it's really when we are caring for our bodies and in the sacred holy way that we should be loving ourselves. Okay, and anytime we come out of being healthy, it's usually because of some consequences of how we're interacting with nature. That's why I like to talk about what are viruses and bugs and things, because it's nature, right? So seasonal colds are based on this synergistic relationship of humans have with germs, right? There are thousands of viruses that have been identified by researchers, and actually they think that viruses are probably the largest organism on the planet, right? So unlike bacteria that is actually a single cell organism itself, viruses are not quite whole in and of themselves, and they need a host to become whole. So they're like, I like to say they're like the Borg. Right? That's right. You will be assimilated, right? So viruses, and Natalie's a scientist, so she can break this down too, but basically they're they're a protein that has an organism that's either RNA or DNA, so some fragment of our own organism, but then they usually have a protective seal around them, like a protein or a glycoprotein or something like that. And in the summertime, they're more aqueous, so they're more like slimy, and so they don't necessarily adhere as well as in the wintertime. They become harder. And so because they become harder, they're better able to like penetrate stuff. And then we, in the wintertime, we actually are drier. And so because we're drier, if we're inhaling some kind of virus, it can adhere more to our mucous membranes easier because we're drier. And then once it adheres there, it becomes like an M&M, and it just like melts. And because I know it doesn't sound too exciting, but that's what actually happens. It's almost like viruses are almost like sperm meeting an egg, you know. So once they find a host, they do penetrate in there, and then they start to multiply, okay? And then hence we become this host that gets sick, right? So when we think about the stages of a cold, there's usually the first 3 days where symptoms appear after an exposure. And it's really after that, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. When we first see symptoms, we do have the ability to stop it if we're paying attention to the body. And then, day one and two, you know, there's fatigue. When you get to the point where you have fatigue and sneezing and a sore throat, it's almost like it's almost too late. You're going to roll through this 10-day process of having a cold. Day 3 to 5, there's usually some nasal symptoms and coughing. And then after 5 to 7 days, there's usually early signs of relief if we're taking care of ourselves, right? So the flu or influenza, those are stronger viruses. And they're stronger in the sense that their ability to penetrate the immune system happens quicker and it's more widespread. Okay, so it becomes, they're more systemic. All viruses ultimately become systemic, meaning they go throughout the whole system, but flus, influenza viruses in particular, are pretty deadly in that sense of the way. All right, so let's look at an anatomy of a cold. So why, before we do that, let's talk about why do colds seem to last longer these days? What do you think? Why do we get sick for longer periods of time?
We're not as healthy.
Okay.
Is it re-exposure? Is it because we're re-exposed? Like before we get well, we do the same things, so we get sick. Extended? I don't know.
I said it's the three S's. Stress, sugar, sleep, or lack thereof. Right? So stress really does suppress the immune system, more so than we even think about, you know, because when we're stressed, it's our perception of stress, but our thoughts really do affect how we feel. And when we have that disconnect of not seeing how our thoughts are affecting how physiologically we're going throughout the day, then it sort of sneaks up on us that our immune system is being suppressed itself. So managing stress is probably the biggest key. And everything, every day it's just stressful, right? So it's really catching yourself and beginning to recognize, how do I feel when I'm stressed? What are my physical presentations of being stressed? So for myself, I know that I actually get a knot in my chest and sometimes in my stomach. You know, so my sister was here for I had Sheila. I can go 48 hours with my sister. Pretty good. But when we're pushing to 72, it gets pretty stressful. You know, it gets pretty stressful, and it's just that dynamic we've had since we were children. You know, that I haven't overcome, nor has she. And then sugar is the other one. So sugar is an immune suppressor because it makes our body more acidic. It sounds like that's the opposite of what it should do, but it actually does. It's dehydrating and it causes inflammation in the body. And so when we're at a point where we have triggered inflammation, which is a part of the immune system, it can only work for so long. Because inflammation is a natural thing, and the body needs that as its way of ridding toxins from the body. But if you think about it being on a heightened state all the time, then that becomes more suppressing of the immune system. And then sleep. If you're not sleeping, you have to rest. The body needs to naturally go through its cycle where it is a time where when we're resting, the body goes through its detoxification cycle. Right, and it also recalibrates itself. So if we're not getting that sleep, it never really gets that way. When I see clients and they tell me that they are eating until 11 o'clock at night and then they go to bed at, you know, an hour later, or they're eating right before they go to bed, then they're never really resting, because there's a time what we call the liver cycle, which is around 3 in the morning, or people who get up at 3 in the morning, you know, 2 and 3 in the morning, and that's because that's your detoxing time. So if you haven't allowed yourself time to rest and the body gets up, it's still working, you're not really resting. So you need your rest. Don't eat at least an hour before you go to bed, if possible. And if you have to have something, a warm cup of milk with some cinnamon or some of those nice aromatic spices, well, is the best thing for you. Okay, so now you have your chart, right? So let's look at the chart. So the first thing we talk about is prevention. And right now, everyone should be taking vitamin C and zinc every single day. Mm-hmm. And I would say until you have acclimated into the cold weather, particularly you as a college student, this is real important, that you have a multivitamin. Vitamin C, for you, probably like 500 milligrams would be fine. 50 micrograms of zinc every day. And older adults, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C every day. Now, those vitamins are water-soluble. If you don't need them, you're going to pee them out. But the boost of those two particular...
What about the zinc? Is that water-soluble?
Yes.
Okay.
So the good thing about it is that they're so... they're water soluble, and if you don't need them, you'll pee them out. But they're such a wonderful way of just maintaining your basic immune system. Okay, So very simple thing that you can do. I find zinc to be a little hard on the stomach without food. So I would say, you know, have a piece of toast or something if you do it in the morning. But absolutely, until you really acclimate, meaning like you're in your boots and your cozies and you got your hat on and you're good. Good next 4 to 6 weeks, absolutely do that. If you're not eating food that is strong in a balanced diet, then you definitely need a food-based multivitamin. So we want to fortify the body with all the things that it needs. Sunshine as much as you possibly can. Get yourself outside. I know it's cold, but you have a dog, so you have to walk. And that you're moving daily. So think about when you're cold, this is what we naturally want to do, is to sort of constrict, right? And so when we're constricting like this, we're actually holding the muscles sort of tight as well as the joints. And then that sort of exacerbates this circulation of the body. So as much as you possibly can, get yourself moving in some capacity. And then optimum sleep. So that's prevention. Okay. So you're out at the mall, you're at the movies, you're in your class, somebody's right? Right? Or like I was in a classroom the other day and this little girl, she was like this. And so a teacher said, you know, Kelly, go over and wash your hands. So she went and washed her hands, she came right back. Finger up the nose. So it's that season, you know. So if as soon as you begin to feel a hint of a cold, that's when echinacea works the best. So people run and they get their echinacea, but it's like, wait a minute, I got this tingling feeling, you know, like your spidey senses are tingling. That's when echinacea works and you got to hit it hard. So if you're doing echinacea, you can do it alone. Sometimes they have what they call that rapid remedy formula that is basically echinacea and golden seal. Golden seal is the antibiotic of herbs. Okay, and so I often try not to have people do a lot of the golden seal because we want it to work when you're really sick. That's great flu formula. So, but if you're feeling like you're coming down with something, get some tincture of echinacea and then you're like squirting it every 4 hours. Okay, and if you do that for 2 days, you should be able to get on top of it. But you also then have to start resting. So as soon as you feel it, you can't just keep up that routine that you're doing. You're going to have to let your body get some rest so it can catch up. These other herbs here, hibiscus is high in vitamin C. It's a wonderful herb. It's also, it's like having vitamin C. So if you're a tea drinker and you'd rather not take a vitamin C supplement, if you have a strong cup of hibiscus tea every day, that's just as good. And when I say a strong cup, is if you are using a tea bag, you want to use about maybe 6 to 8 tea bags per cup. Because in a tea bag, that's not a teaspoon of herb. Usually it's about a teaspoon of herb in a tea bag. And when we want a strong cup, you want like 3 to 4 grams, and that's tablespoons. So
if you have loose tea, you'll get
so then if you yeah, then you would use about 3 tablespoons okay. in your loose tea. Mm-hmm. And steep it for about 7 to 10 minutes. Get mm-hmm. it nice and red and juicy. Mm-hmm. You can add some honey to it. That's fine mm-hmm. too. But hibiscus is one of the best. Stinging nettles and astragalus, those are long-term immune supports. Nettles is one of the best all-purpose mineral type of herbs there are. It's high in minerals. It's the stuff that grows out, weeds outside, stinging nettles, good stuff. The root of nettles is what's being studied for prostate, okay? It is the leaves that I'm talking about that are used for immune support. And astragalus too, which is what I was just sharing with this young lady up here. So for long-term immune function, people who have been depleted for a long time, astragalus is an herb that can be taken over a long period of time and really helps to fortify them over a long time. Now, cleavers is one of the what we call lymphatics. So usually, as you're coming down with a cold, the other thing is to start a gentle detox so that your body can start flushing out any kind of viruses or anything else. And cleavers is a gentle sort of.
Where do you find cleavers?
You can find these herbs. Well, anywhere they're selling loose teas, you know, like I know
like
for us, David sells them loose. Mom still
and
sells
then
loose
you make
teas.
All of these things into a tea. Or?
Yeah, you can drink them as teas, or you can buy them as supplements.
Okay,
I'm pushing these as teas though, because I think when you're making a cup of tea, it's also a way to sort of nurture yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like teas in particular, because then you know you're taking care of yourself versus popping another.
Minute,
thank
right?
you, popping another pill. So cleavers is a lymphatic in that way. We're going to talk some more about when we get down to the liver detox later. But so if you are coming down with a cold, think about that. Remember how we used to say, feed a cold, starve a fever, or starve a fever, feed a cold? The idea there is that you're starting to detox. So if there's some virus in you or other bacterium, how can I get it out? And cleavers is a gentle way to do that. Okay, so, oops, I missed it. I wasn't paying attention. Now I'm fatigued, I'm sneezing, I got a sore throat. We move to the analgesics, and those are the herbs that actually provide you with some pain relief or some comfort. So, interesting enough, not the elderberry, but the white willow bark, marsh and marshmallows in particular, those are herbs that make your tea very mucilaginous, so they're very soothing. And you'll notice if you're looking at different, like natural cough syrups or whatever, or cough drops, they usually have marshmallow in them. They'll be elderberry and marshmallow. That's just the name.
Okay, because you
know,
marshmallow.
Not those. How about the No. And it's the bark that's used. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So white willow bark is actually the herb that is the precursor to the synthetic aspirin. Okay, so this is a Native American recipe, or Native American herb, that the bark of the trees were chewed on or sucked on as a way to numb any kind of cold, okay, or numb any kind of pain. Skullcap is one of my favorite herbs. This is why I used to get my babies in their bottle. Because it's a very calming herb. So it's one that it's not sedative, but it's calming. So it's one of those herbs that if you have a lot of anxiety, you know, like I've been coughing a lot, I don't feel good, I just really want to rest. Skullcap is one of those wonderful herbs for that. And then the other thing is thinking about moving more into having some essential oils. So I brought some here if you want to just do a little scent test. But I say, as soon as you get cold, get into a hot bath. You know, steam it up in that bathtub. Steam up the bathroom. Put your essential oils in there and just allow those aromatics to open up your sinuses. Okay, so, oops, I still wasn't paying attention. I got the virus. I'm sick now. Okay, before we go on.
All of these analgesics. Mm-hmm. Could you add this to that, or are you supposed to make a tea just out
no,
of these
No, no, no,
things?
No, no. These are just, these, okay, so let me also go back to elderberry. So elderberry is Sambucus. This is actually the berry itself that's used. So like hibiscus is the flower. We didn't
mm-hmm.
talk about this, but when you're working with any kind of herbal remedies, there's certain part of the plant that's used. Sometimes it's the root, sometimes it's the leaves, sometimes it's the bark, sometimes it's the flower, and sometimes it's the fruit. So with elderberry, it's the fruit. I mean, sometimes you get elderberry leaf tea, but we believe that the strength of the prosanoanthins, if I'm saying that correct, is in the fruit itself, the berry itself. Now, I'm telling you individual
mm-hmm.
herbs so that you understand why they're used. You
mm-hmm.
can do any combination. If you like your rooibos tea, you can add white willow bark to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have, you can blend any teas that you want. The only thing I would say is don't use any kind of, unless it's green tea, caffeine tea. So no black
right.
teas. I wouldn't
right.
do that because they're diuretic, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the caffeine can be stressful on your body when you're trying to get some rest. So, but green tea is an antioxidant, so it's a milder form of caffeine, even though We know black tea is green tea that's fermented. Just so you know, if you didn't know that, that's what it is.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So black tea, the invention of black tea was when the Europeans were coming from India back home in their ships, and they had green tea. And in Asia, and it fermented because it was in a damp, dark ship, and it fermented, and they had all that tea. They didn't want to lose it, so they became black tea. That's right. That's what that is. Okay, so now let's go into day three. So you have these nasal symptoms, and like the best thing on the planet is the neti pot. I know a lot of people don't like the neti pot, but it is a wonderful way to irrigate the sinuses themselves. You can use a little saline warm water. The other thing is you can try to take one of the liver detoxing kind of herbs, like on the bottom, the dandelion, your cleavers, make that as a tea and use that to sort of irrigate as well. Sesame oil drops in the nose, basically, as you warm up sesame oil, just like you cook with, warm it up under a warm tap, doesn't have to be hot, put a little bit on it, and sniff it up your nose. And it helps to, the sesame itself is anti-inflammatory, and then the oil will help to lubricate those mucous membranes. I like it, I just don't like smelling sesame all day. Because once you do it, that's the scent you got for pretty much all day. And then one of my favorite.
And how often do you do that?
Well, the
all of these sesame, are like every day.
Well, then yes. So the neti pot, if you are someone who's prone to having nasal problems or challenges, I would be doing the neti pot every morning. Yeah, and there's a period of time. So for me, my neti pot comes out in the spring because I have seasonal allergies, and so I'm neti potting, you know, between March and May, almost every day.
You just pour it in your nose.
Uh huh.
It comes out the other side.
Yeah, you just got to angle right. If it goes down your throat, then it's wrong.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, so it takes a little practice, but you can make it happen. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure you don't put too much saline because then it could be burning. Okay, you don't want hot water, you want warm water as well. Mullein drops, which are if you have ear infections, are you a mullein drop person? Okay.
With children?
Yes. Absolutely. So you can make this yourself. So if you're in a pinch, you can just do garlic and olive oil alone. So you would crush a garlic clove, warm some olive oil under a tap, put a little garlic in there, and drop it in your ear. And then make sure that it stays with a cotton ball in. It's very soothing. The mullein is another remedy too. You can actually buy these ear drops as mullein garlic ear drops. They sell them just like that. Great stuff. This is the time you want to have your veggie broths going on. Lots of ginger, cayenne, garlic, turmeric, all that stuff that will break up the congestion in your chest. And then diffusing essential oils like eucalyptus or peppermint is good. You can use it in a diffuser, or you can do it the old-fashioned way like Grandma used to do. You put a pot of hot water on your stove, drop a few drops in there, and just let it ferment through the air, or put a towel over the head. Remember that old
one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We used to put Vicks in there,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, all right. How do you know the essential oils? Like you were saying, I could put it in my humidifier.
Right.
I would
probably start with about 10 drops, and then see if you like, if it's enough for you, if the scent is enough for you, right? So if you're doing it in your humidifier, just make sure you clean your humidifier out so that the sediment doesn't clog over time. You shouldn't be using that much, though. Mm-hmm. But I would start with like 10 drops. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of the softer scents like rose and chamomile, they might need a little more depending on what you like, you know.
I want eucalyptus.
Mm-hmm. Yes, eucalyptus is. Well, you won't need that much because it's pretty hardy in of itself. Okay, so now you're on the mend, and you still have that little residual cough. So these lung support herbs, yarrow and milky oats in particular. Milky oats, like the marshmallow and the white willow bark, they're going to make the tea more mucilaginous, so it softened the water up a little bit, so it's actually quite soothing to the chest. Hawthorn crataegus is another berry that's high in antioxidants. It's like in the elderberry family. Hawthorn is also an herb that's used for hypertension. So if you if that's a challenge that you have, hawthorn is something that you should have in your cabinet. And then as you're mending, it's really, again, it's time to sort of detoxify and sort of get rid of those toxins in your body. And so dandelion, burdock, and milk thistle are some liver detox supports that you can have. Anyone who's on maintenance medications should be taking one of these liver detox symptoms, because pharmaceuticals are synthesized through the liver, and so we often want to keep that liver working optimally. And these three in particular are pretty mild. Milk thistle probably being the mildest of them. Dandelion probably being the most bitter and dry. So if you like that kind of taste, you can even eat the greens too. Works just as well. And we want to start with a light diet. Some broths, get some sleep, do some yoga, and have some light work. Good?
Feeling better already.
The main thing is to take care of yourself. You know, I think that when I see people walking around and they're miserable, it's because we're just not taking the time to take care of yourself. Your body has a way to tell you to slow down. You have to listen to it and slow down.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Charlene, how do you know how much of these things is enough?
Yeah, nothing
like
that
the liver detox.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted milk. Thistle.
If you want to take milk thistle, I would say the best rule of thumb is to start everything on here, first of all, is safe. Mm-hmm. You know, if we were sitting and doing a consultation and you needed something deeper, mm-hmm. Then there are definitely herbs that pack a harder punch and shouldn't be taking over a long period of time. And we would have that discussion. But all of these herbs are safe herbs. So I would probably start, if you're thinking about a supplement, you start with like 500 milligrams a day. That's okay. A safe way to start. If you're doing a tea, then you can think 4 to 5 grams, which is tablespoons. A tablespoon is a gram.
Okay.
Of herb. I will let you know that maybe burdock is not so bad as a tea. Milk thistle and dandelion is very bitter, so mm-hmm. I would say tincture or
supplement
those. Supplement
for the liver detox.
yes. Unless you're doing something like cleavers, which is on the top there, and that's a lymphatic, but it's also and that's not such a bad tasting one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But right now, prevention-wise, sure. Take some milk thistle. Take your vitamin C, your zinc. If you're not eating a balanced diet, or if you know that you're not going to get your 3 to 4 servings of fruits and vegetables at every meal.
At every meal. 3 servings?
Yeah, at every meal. That's right. Half of your plate. If you know that that's not your style, then take a food-based multivitamin.
Do you suggest one in particular or two?
I like Mega Foods. I like that brand. Mm-hmm. They're a little pricey. Rainbow Light is another good food-based multi that is not very expensive. Mm-hmm. For my sons, are those on a fixed income, meaning mommy sends it to them every month. Alive is a good one too. And the boys like the gummies.
Yeah.
And those are fine too. You know, a liquid multi is good too, because it's more bioavailable to the body. Mm-hmm. But those synthetic, supplements, sometimes they don't digest very well, depending on how optimal your digestive function is. Mm-hmm. So getting a food-based one, meaning when you look at that label, it's going to say beta-carotene on the bottom, is going to say ingredients, carrots. Okay, and not some synthetic.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anything else?
The liver, well, I was interested in liver detox because I have elevated liver enzymes.
Okay.
And what made them need to do is lose weight. That's okay. What the doctor says.
Right, right.
Of course, but I didn't know if this might help with that.
It can help for that, yeah. So in that case, I would say you want to take more like 1,000 milligrams of the milk thistle a day, okay? Another thing that if you're disciplined, it would be better to take it before you go to bed at night.
Okay.
Because then you're going to go through your detox cycle at night, you know, and basically you're fasting, you know, versus if you take it in the morning, you know, then you're going about your day and you're eating and whatnot. So if you can be disciplined, do it at night.
Take it in the evening.
Do it at night, yeah.
Does it kind of make sense to do it at night regardless? Like if you're going to take a liver detox support?
Yeah, but some of us are not disciplined to do that every day at night.
Right.
Yes, that's the best thing to do. Yes, yes. But again, for those who are not disciplined and say, look, it's got to be right in the morning when I have my coffee.
Fine.
Do that, then. Do that.
Okay.
You good?
I'm good.
Alrighty.
I'm gonna try my eucalyptus and see if that helps.
Yeah, let's see. I brought some samples here if you want to try some. Just take a swig.
You get those at David's also?
You can get them at any place now. You can buy, you know, there's
are they real ones?
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know if they're real.
Our acacia is a good one. Yeah, I mean, these are a good brand. Yeah. You do have to.
Encounters with Grace, looking for love in all the right places. Encounters with Grace is a compilation of essays, prose, and images based on the musings of the urban herbalist Charlene Marie Muhammad. In 2019, Encounters with Grace is dedicated to 365 days of Finding Nemo, never-ending moments of openness to the universal principles of peace. This week's episode is a special broadcast discussion I facilitated at the Pieces Collective Winter Makers pop-up in Baltimore. Our topic, seasonal transitions, herbs and healing practices that support the immune system. Enjoy.